Hey, comedy fans, welcome to episode 159 of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me in studio is Justin Lawson. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. This episode is also brought to you by Freshly Brewed Comedy. You can enjoy a free show every Sunday night at Boulder Cafe and Lounge, located at 100 South Clinton Avenue. Hope to see you there. Good morning, Carlson Casters. Welcome to another edition of your favorite comedy interview show, The Carlson Cast. I'm really happy to introduce my guest today. It is not his first time here at The Carlson, but it is his first time here as a headliner, and we're thrilled to have him. It's Justin Lawson. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. How you doing, player?
I'm great, man. I'm very happy to see you.
I'm happy to be here, man.
This is very cool, man. It's very exciting. I've learned a lot about you through osmosis.
Oh, word? What
yeah,
you learned?
I just heard some things.
Some good things or bad things?
Well, I've heard some interesting things.
Oh, I don't know. He said interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like, you and I have some things that are in common.
Okay.
Moved around as a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I went from West Coast. I went from San Diego, California to Rochester, New York. And you went from Portland, Oregon to Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder, like, California, New York, not so much of a culture shock. Portland, Tennessee.
It is a huge,
whole new world.
It's like Fresh Prince backwards. That's okay. How it was. It was like, when we were moving to Tennessee, I was like, yo, is this because I didn't clean my room, Mom? Because I'll clean my room. Like, I'll go back. And but, yeah, it's a very, very different. Like, in Oregon, I went to school, only black kid at my school.
Right.
Moved to Memphis, Tennessee. I was considered the only white kid. they were like, what? You eat corn nuts? That's I didn't know that was a white thing.
Apparently it was very upsetting.
Like, I was like, I just like corn nuts. It was good. My mom used to give me corn nuts.
So. That's so funny though, because I really relate to that, like in terms of just having to go into the new environment as a kid. It's never fun.
Yeah.
But you live with some very fun people. I've met a lot of your family. Obviously, I met your brother. He's performed here. I met your mom, who does stand-up comedy.
Yeah, she also performed.
Yeah.
And is usually making fun of us. But it was you know what's crazy? I thought she was going to – me and my brother thought she was going to bomb the first time we saw her. My brother was like, yo, watch. Mom's about to do stand-up. She's about to bomb. And we're going to get a laugh out of it. She did very well. I was like, what the heck? I was like, you know how long it took me to get like that comfortable on stage? She was just up there.
It blows my mind that you now have to compete for gigs with your brother and your mother.
Oh, right. And my mom getting all the gigs. She's like, yeah, I got this.
Are you guys competitive that way?
No, comedy is not a competition, really. I mean, people like to put like competition on it, but comedy is subjective. So it's like... somebody could sell out over here and then sell out like right down the street, you know what
I mean? Of course.
But we don't compete. I was just doing a show with my brother last weekend.
Now you were out in California last weekend.
Yeah, we were in Ontario.
Awesome.
Ontario was a lot of fun. But
I always find that like the people that I'm closest with in comedy, it is kind of a natural competition though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, for me, it's not like we were so competitive, like with like sports and everything. Mm-hmm. The older we got, the less competitive with each other we got.
Yeah,
it's like more of like helping each other instead of competing against each other.
Yeah.
But far as like comedy, I'm like, it's not a competition because I mean, they're all funny. So it's like. You know, well,
I don't think you're taking shots at your mom or anything
I'm just going down, Mom. This is a diss. No, I'm not gonna.
Did you see that last act, everybody?
You saw the last? My mom's dope, but my whole family. But I think my whole family is pretty much funny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like my mom's funny, my older brother's funny, my sister's funny, preacher's funny. But the only people that do comedy is me and my brother, really.
Right.
My mom did comedy.
Is she retired now?
Yeah, she doesn't really do it as much anymore.
Okay.
But she's funny, though.
Let's talk about your path to stand-up, because it's got to be interesting. You're headlining clubs. You're doing very, very well. Yeah. You're an up-and-coming act, man. People are talking about you. They're excited. I'm excited to have you here. How did it start for you? Where did you first get on the stage?
The first time I got on stage was in Oregon at Harvey's Comedy Club.
Okay.
It was open mic. My brother I just moved back to Oregon, and my brother was like, yo, you should do stand-up. And I was like, no, I'm too cool. And he was like, no, you're not. You know, you should do stand-up. And I was like, I'm good, man. I don't want to do stand-up. And he was like, what else you doing with your life? And I was like, you shouldn't have said that in front of grandma. And my grandma was like, yeah, we're going to pray for you right here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was like, you could have texted me. We got phones, man. You could have just been like, hey, man, you ain't doing nothing else. Send. And then I would have been like, you right. Let me try it out.
Right.
But
they did it in front of grandma.
Yeah, grandma.
And she cast the devil out of you.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, you need to go get your life together. And
that's bad advice, though. If your grandmother say you need to get your life together, yeah, go to the comedy club.
Well, no, she didn't want me to do stand up.
Okay,
she wanted me to go to school.
Okay,
she was like, look, you funny, but like, hey, let's be real.
I'm not buying a ticket.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, it's time for you to get your academics together.
It's hard to be funny to the people you're closest to.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I mean, some of them, when you tell them it's a joke, then it's like they act different. But if you don't say nothing and you just be yourself, they'll laugh. But as soon as they find out it's a joke, they're like, oh, okay. They analyze
things
it
get
different.
Clinical.
Oh, okay. All right.
Did you put the glasses down a little bit?
Oh, that's what you're going to use on stage? Okay. All right. Well, if that's what you want to do.
You can open with it. Maybe I wouldn't open with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do none of that. Yeah. Tell your skits on stage. That's what.
Oh no.
That's what they say.
Is that the most offensive term that you could call somebody's comedy set?
Yeah, I hate it when people do that, but it's like, I get it. I mean, they just don't know. But when they do that, I just agree. I'm about to do my sketch.
I'm about to do my sketch. There's something about the term skit.
Yeah, it's just
that,
so silly.
That does rub me the wrong way.
Yeah,
my what?
That.
My skit. Is this elementary school? I'm going to do a skit.
You about to do your show and tell on stage? But yeah, no, Harvey's was my first one. And I bombed.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it was a big bomb. It was like a open mic. And my brother finally got me on stage. He was like, yeah, do the stuff that you were telling me. And I did the stuff. And then people were like, yeah, can we get our money back? I was like, this is a free mic. I don't know what I'm paying you for.
Did you have to give them all money?
I felt like it.
There you go.
I felt I was just going to give out like dollars at the door when they left. But,
I've had bad sets too. I felt like doing it. I'm just like, listen, here, I'm going to refund everybody. There you go.
Maybe I should go back to school. But after that, I got on. I did a show in Washington, and I did the same jokes at that time, and it did well. But it was in front of an audience.
Sure.
And I never had that feeling before. It was like shooting a game-winning shot.
Well, I have to say, what you're telling me is not typical for what I hear from a lot of performers, because most people that I hear always say to me, you know, my first set, I went up there and man, the people love me. I got that first laugh.
Yeah.
It was like a shot of heroin and now I'm addicted and I had to get more. And then the second set is where they bob.
Oh.
But they want to chase the high from the first set so bad they keep doing it. You, on the other hand, are telling me that you bombed out of the gate and still stuck in there.
Only because my brother was pushing me to stick in there.
Because you have some kind of support system.
Yeah,
because
I was like, as soon as I got off stage, I was like, I'm glad I got that over. I'm chill. And then my brother was like, no, we not. I was like, what you mean we? And we started doing some other mics, but it was when he got me on an actual show that I was like, oh, okay, I see why you do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is addicting. It's so much fun.
And there's a different mentality of crowds, too. I think that's one of those things that people don't realize is that, you know, when you come to a show like at the Carlson or where you were playing in Washington, where people are coming for a comedy show, it's a little bit different than people hanging out at an open mic.
Oh, yeah, it's way different. Yeah, especially if you're doing it at a bar. You got TV, you got I mean, I've been in a bowling alley where you're doing your jokes and somebody hits the pins during your punchline.
Turkey.
Yeah, it's like you're like, strike. And I'm like, would you guys suck a little bit? Stop being good. Why are you good when I get a
good bowlers?
Yeah. Why you get good when I'm starting doing my jokes?
I did a show outside a couple weeks ago in down in Nashville, and there was a
It was outside?
Yeah, it was an outside. It was like this really cool spot. There was 100 people for the show. It was really cool. It was packed. And as I was going to deliver a punchline, a train whistle started blowing in the background. And it could not have been timed better to just make me look like a dummy.
Yeah. So what did you do? You stand there or you...
I turned around. I was like, what? And then I go back to as I was saying, and the thing did it again.
Oh, word.
Yeah, it did like three times. Yeah, that conductor had it out for me.
He was like, oh, is that a comedy show? Turn it around. I don't know how they turned it around on the track. Back it up, I guess.
Man.
They would have to back it up.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. I know that feeling.
Yeah. It's, and sometimes you like, should I continue with the joke or should I just move on? You know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, I'm used to it because of doing a lot of bars and everything. So I could handle it now. But in the beginning, that used to drive me wild.
That's the road to success, though.
Yeah.
Is when you could learn to go into an open mic and make people laugh. You're doing all right for yourself.
Yeah.
I really have to say that.
Yeah, that's like the gym for comedy.
So this is your is this your second time back to Rochester?
Or
your
second time.
How'd you like it the first time?
Rochester's dope. I had a blast the first time. Yeah, I was with my brother. I was also with some other friends that I met from Florida was here. So we were just having fun. Stand up, the crowd is amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a great time in Rochester.
So, you got any plans for the rest of the weekend? Things you want to check out and see?
I mean, if y'all got some recommendations on stuff to see out here, I'd definitely check them out.
Okay.
But I don't know any. Y'all have any like certain spots that?
Well, what are you into, Justin? What do you like to do?
I like a lot of things. First of all, I love the room.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. What do you say later we go to the Rochester Museum of Play?
A play.
It is a toy museum. The best toy museum in the country. And they have a full arcade.
Old they got school, an arcade in there?
School old school arcade.
Okay. What you trying to get beat at? Hey,
Street Fighter. It. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
Double Dragon, let's go.
I'm down for all of them, and I just want to apologize now for what happens.
Okay.
I still want you to be my friend,
yeah.
But I'm very good at some games.
What is this all about? Oh, it's not about a competition.
Said comedy. and my family, we don't compete no more. But outside of that, everybody could get it, man.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, everybody could get it outside of that. You know all what right. I mean?
All right, we got a date and a pocket full of quarters, my man. We're going to go destroy that place.
Okay, I'm about it, man. Street Fighter, who's your character?
Oh, man, in Street Fighter, E Honda.
E Honda? I said it like I know who.
That's the big Japanese guy who does that thing.
Oh, okay.
Because once you get that thing going,
well, I don't know. I could use the yoga, the stretch guy. Yoga Fire?
I'm not familiar with the yoga stretching.
All right.
That's something I do. I'm more comfortable with the big overweight guy who wears the diaper.
That's funny. You know what? I know the characters by the move sets and what they yell more than the names. But I do remember the Japanese diaper guy, and he's pretty strong.
So you've been touring all over the country. What are some of the more interesting things that you've seen that maybe you didn't know were out there as you were touring around?
Interesting things. I mean, to be honest with you, I've been moving since I was a kid, so I've seen a lot of things. So I'm trying to see what's the most craziest thing that I've seen while doing shows.
Well, I feel like you're on the road a lot.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot going on right now. And I mean, it's got to be fun now that COVID's kind of subsiding.
Excuse me. It's different in the West than it is in like the South and up North and East. The West is like more still like, hey, it's COVID. You know what I mean? South is like, man, what is COVID?
Like, we never heard of it.
Yeah, never heard of it. That's not even a thing. And then up here is like, it's kind of, you know, like we know it, but it's just like, just be safe.
Yeah.
So it's different in that aspect. I'm glad that LA is not shut down anymore.
Yeah.
Because, man, I have never been in timeout as a grown up, but that is way different.
It really was. What did you do to like shelter through that whole thing?
Oh, I went jogging. I went. I wasn't into jogging at all. I was like running long distance was stupid to me.
Right.
And then my roommate, he was like, "I'm gonna go jog," and he was jogging every day. I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna try jogging one time with him." And at this time, we were living in the hood, so he would he would jog, but he would be the only one that knows the way. And he's fast, so he'll run. And I'm like, hey, man, don't run super fast because I got to also know where we're going.
This is called jogging.
Yeah. I was like, what are you sprinting for? And he was like real quick. It used to annoy me because he'll be so fast. He'll turn around, take pictures and stuff. I'm like, would you stop doing that? Because it makes me look bad. I'm all breathing all hard.
He's
catching
got the picture
you
behind him.
Yeah. He took a picture. This one time he took a picture of a house and and like the flash went off on his phone, and then the blinds moved. And as soon as I got up there, he ran off. I said, "Don't do that! I don't know what that means. The blinds move, and you just took a picture, and now I run to catch up with you, and you take off, so it looks like I took the picture of somebody's house."
Oh,
that,
no.
You know what I mean? So I was like,
"That's uncomfortable."
Yeah, it was. But we laughed about it later. And I was like, I'm gonna Uber for the rest of the time. We start jogging together.
My wife runs all the time. She runs marathons.
Oh, really?
She does all that long distance running stuff. She came home the other day. I was sitting on the couch. She goes, "I just ran 8 miles," and I was like, "I just finished the Oreos. I don't know what to tell you.
I just finished the Oreos.
I don't know what to tell you.
I got the whole sleeve.
I can't relate to running.
Yeah,
well, I haven't had to do it in a while.
It's fun now. Now I could do it, and it's more of just me. I don't know. Sometimes it helps me just think of jokes, or sometimes I'll just be in my head and listen to music running.
Sure.
So now running I like, but in the beginning I'm like, who for what? Why am
no
I doing
chasing
this?
Me.
Yeah, why am I doing this, man? But yeah, now I'm into it.
Cool.
Like I like running.
Very cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are 4 shows left this weekend, 2 tonight, 2 tomorrow.
4
of
them.
Justin Lawson right here at Comedy the Carlson. Squaw. You can get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com. Justin.
Holla at me.
I got to wonder, when you're doing all of these shows, and what year did you start performing in?
Let me see. I started when... Dang. It's been a minute.
Yeah, you've been doing it a while.
I think I started at 21.
Okay.
Yeah, I started at 21. That was when the first time I got on stage, and that was Harvey's. Orlando is where I started like getting into my groove of
right.
comedy.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you is the run of how, you know, long it's taken you to get to where you are, which is a great spot.
Yeah.
You're headlining clubs all over the country. That's an amazing thing. I mean, that is rarefied air for comics.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you, Justin, is if you had to go back to Harvey's knowing every single thing you know now about the comedy business.
Oh, I would have fun.
What would you do a little bit different? What would you do different?
First I'll do jokes.
Okay.
That's step one. And you know what? I think I'll be a little bit free, more loose.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, I was too in my head. I was like, I just wanted to kill or whatever. I think I was trying to show off in front of my brother because I was like, yeah, I'm funny, so I could, if he could do it, I could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that first night was just bad. But now I don't know. I have a lot more fun on stage than I did before. So it's like I would change. I would actually do jokes. I'd be a lot looser. and I'll just have fun. I talk to the crowd more. When I first started, I wasn't talking to the crowd. Like, as soon as they say something, I'm like, oh, snap, I don't know what to say. They talking to me. Nah, yeah. You know, because I was so robotic on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I was just like, I'll stop, play with the crowd, joke about whatever.
Learning how to live in the moment.
Yeah, instead of just like being like hardcore.
Set up punch. Does not compute.
Does not, you know, it's like a robotic type thing.
Yeah. Almost. Interesting. So I guess we have a lot of young performers who watch the show. A lot of people who are just getting into comedy, folks who may not have ever done it. And some folks, we have our contest, Carlson contest, is coming up at the end of this month. So I think we have 74 people who signed up for this.
Oh, dope. I didn't know y'all were doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big contest. Folks, you can find out information at carlsoncontest.com on that for the dates. But what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in comedy right now?
Just starting off?
Yeah.
I tell you, with everything, it's going to get hard. With everything you do, no matter if it's comedy, it could be a Burger King. It don't matter. Everything is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
If you like it, fight through that, the difficult parts, and then whatever you get after that is going to be dope.
See, and that's really good advice from a guy who actually did that.
Yeah.
You had that terrible first set and you hung in there.
And I was like, you know what? This is fun. You know what I mean? Once you find the fun in the hard part, everything is fun after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
if you could have fun flipping burgers, you're going to have a great day at work if you're flipping burgers.
Yeah. You like, that's all I'm doing? I do this in my sleep anyway.
Hey, look at the rhythm I came up with. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, right?
Ba-da-ba-ba, flip.
I don't know how people be flipping like that. That's too spatulas.
I think what you're doing is drum player. I think you're playing the drums.
That's two spatulas, man. You ain't never cooked like that? That's
two spatulas?
You never did two spatulas?
No, man. I've done two forks. Two forks, but not spatulas. That's my nickname in college. Forks. Vinny Two Forks.
That's a good rap name. Hey.
Oh, I'm a terrible rapper. So
hey, if you put it on that piff, you might still get something, though. You know what I mean?
We'll see what happens. Folks, get your tickets to see my man Justin Lawson all weekend here at the Carlson. 585-484-COMEDY if you want to get tickets. And also visit carlsoncomedy.com. And we will be back with a great new show next week. And until then, act right, Rochester. We will see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.